Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Lamed Dalet. Today's daf has been dedicated in memory of Chaim ben Sara. Alav Shalom, Mr. Victor Shem Tov. Dedicated by his family. Ruach Hashem, Tanihen Began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is also being studied by Adun Shmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanihem Began Eden, Amen. On yesterday's daf, on Lamid Gimal, we brought a braita. The braita discussed a case of where you have a basket that is hanging from a tree. And we said the basket was 10 tefachim high. And a person put his eruv in the basket, and he wanted to make his shevitah, his residency for eruv, was on the ground. So the Braita said that according to the B, the eruv is an eruv. And the Gemara questioned that, how can it be an eruv? So it said because really the Chaurat's in a different reshut. The Eruv is in one reshut. It's 10 tefachim high in the basket. And he wants his residency down on the ground, which is a reshut and a beam. So the Gemara explained that we're going according to Rabbi that follows the opinion of two opinions. He follows Rabbi Meir and he follows Rabbi Yehuda. We're talking about a basket that was not 4 tefachim wide. But you need it to be 4 tefachim wide, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that says anytime the Eruv is above 10 tefachim, it needs to be placed on a Makom Hashuv. And the Makom Hashuv is 4 tefachim. So how do you get to the 4 tefachim? Because he holds like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds Chokekin Lehashlim. Chokekin Lehashlim means, let's say there's some thickness to the tree itself that gives you the ability to chisel out, to add to the width of the basket. So we'll say Chokekim Lehashlim. And that's exactly how you get to 4 tefachim. The only question is, so now you have a 4 tefachim area, combined basket with tree, 10 tefachim high, seemingly that's the Shuti Yahid. Still your Eruv is in a different spot. To that Rashi told us that we learned in Masechet Shabbat by the cases of Betzatah de Meshan, the boats of Meshan, even though the walls of the boats were 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, but the boats, you were not allowed to carry only 4 amot on the boat. Meaning the boat was not considered a shuti yachid. Why? Because on the bottom, they come to a narrowness. And therefore, since the bottom of the walls come to a narrow point, it is not considered walls of a reshuti yachid. So the same thing over here, the tree on top, using chokekin, you have, let's say, 4x4 and it is 10 high, but it narrows out. The tree obviously is not that wide on the bottom, and therefore, it cannot be considered a reshuti yachid. Therefore, at worst, that let's say it's a katmelit, and therefore, according to the B, ben Hashem Ashot, you'd be able to get your Eruv from the basket to put it down into the Shuta, because he holds Ben Hashem Ashot, Yisud the Banan is permissible. Good. Side point, just to review yesterday's daf, the Gemara said, where do we know Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Which means Rabbi Yehuda that says, you need to put the Eruv on the Makom Hashuv, for Tefahim, where was that said? So the Gemara brought a Braita actually, that said, Na'atz korah b'reshut harabim. If you put a korah, a pole, you thrusted it into the reshut harabim, and you put the eruv on it, and the pole is 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, erubo eruv. The eruv is going to be an eruv. Ve'im lav, and if not, in erubo eruv. So now, let's understand the first case of Rabbi Yehuda. You have a pole. It's 10 tefachim high, 4 wide. Now, seemingly that's a reshut hayachid. If you're placing your eruv on the ground beneath it, that's a reshut harabim. So the question is, how could it be eruv eruv? It's the reshut of the eruv, and your eruv is in a different domain. So the explanation is, like we learned yesterday, a very important klal in Eruv. The four amot in the area of where you set your residency, your Shemitah for Eruv, is considered a reshut yahid, because we do allow him to carry in those four amot. And therefore, since this is a straight pole going up, in the four amot where he makes a Shemitah, it's a shuti yachid. The din is a shuti yachid oleh ad larakia. So therefore, the whole area from the ground all the way up is considered a shuti yachid. Therefore, when he puts his eruv Shemitah on the ground, and he has this pole, which is 10 by 4, and he puts his eruv on top, it's hu ve'eruvo b'makom echad. So it's not considered that the Shemitah is in a shuti rabim, and he is in a, and the eruv is in a shuti yachid. It's all considered a shoot hayachid. Only question is, it said ve'im lav, and if not, in eruv or eruv. So the Gemara wants to understand, what does it mean im lav? If im lav means that if it's not 10 high, meaning it's less than 10 and it's 4 wide, no eruv. The Gemara is adrabah. If it's less than 10, so if anything, let's say it's a kadmelit, right? Less than 10. Four wide is a kadmelit. Certainly I'd be able to get from the kadmelit to the floor, then a shemashot. So therefore, the Gemara says, that cannot be the imlav, where it's less than 10 by 4. Ela, the imlav is, if it's 10 by 4, erubo eruv. 10 less than 4, in erubo eruv. Why? Because you have to put your eruv on a makom hashuv. And if you don't put your eruv on a Makom Hashuv, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not an Eruv. So that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's where he got it from the Braita. The Gemara then,
even less than,
which means less than 10, it could even be narrower than 4. Only that's his deen. Only above 10, you need 4. And that's what the Braita was saying. If you have 10 by 4, good. Ve'im lav, 10 by less, then already in Eruv Eruv, because you didn't put it on Makom Hashuv. Less than 10, you don't need a shiur of significant of where you put the Eruv on. That's the Braita. Then the Gemara's last point was, on this Braita, where does the B'Yoseh B'Rabbi Yehuda fit in? What was the B'Yoseh B'Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? He was the Shita that said you were Na'atz Kaneh B'Rishut Rabim. Right, you placed a kaneh b'shut harabim, and you put on top of it a traskal. Right, you put a basket on top of the box, on top of the pole, I'm sorry, and the pole was 10 tefachim high at least, and the traskal was on top. So he said, if you throw into the shut harabim, and it lands on top of the traskal, you're going to be hayav. Because he considers that area a reshut yahid. Why? Because he uses the principle called gud achit mechista. That means we consider the walls of the basket if they go down. And therefore, since you have an area of 4x4 in the basket itself, with the walls going down, it is considered a reshut yahid. And therefore, you're going to be hayab. Meaning, if you throw from reshut harabim onto the basket, it's like reshut harabim to reshut hayahid. So the Gemara said, must be, he is not going with this opinion of the braita over here with the basket. Because we're talking about a basket that's hanging on a tree. And we said, using the principle of Chokikin Lashlim, you have 4 tefachim wide. Now, if you hold good the height mehista, the actual basket wall should go down, and therefore it should be a full-fledged reshuti yachid. If you consider it a full-fledged reshuti yachid, and your eruv is on the ground, so we're going to say, in eruvo, eruv, because huve eruvo, the makom acher. So the Gemara says, no. In this case over here, even the B'Yoseh B'Rabbi Yehuda is not going to say good achit. Why? Because the only time you say good achit mechista is when you have already an area 4x4 alone. Then you already can say good achit. But here, you have to say two dinim. You have to first get chokikin, and then once you get chokikin to get your 4x4, then you're going to say good achit. That much already B'Yoseh B'Rabbi Yehuda did not say. So that was basically the opinion of the Gemara of yesterday. I review one point, just to set up for what we're going to do now. This explanation of the Braita was said according to Ravina. He learned that when the Eruv was above in the tree, high in the tree, let's say above 10 tefachim, and in this an area of 4 tefachim, in Eruv, because it's in the Shuti Yachid, and his Eruv is down in the Reshut Harabim, and we explain it's talking about a case where it's not straight up, it's talking about where the branches horizontally jut out more than 4 amot away from the place of his Shevitah, so there's no way for him to get from where his Eruv is in the Reshut Yahid to the ground, which is in the Reshut Harabim. Okay? Now, that was the Resha. The Sefer of that Braita was talking about a case where it was in the basket, and the basket, he said, it was less than 4, but with Chokikin you made it 4. Now Rav Yirmiyah is going to come along and say, no, we're talking about a basket even if it is actually 4. You don't have to come out to Chokikin and all that. The basket is, it's 10 high, hanging on the tree, and it is 4 Tevachim. Just like the Resha is talking about where you're putting it on a spot on the tree, that's 4 Tevachim. The Sefer also is talking about where you're putting it in a basket, 4 Tevachim. Also, now we have a question again. The question is, this is Lachaura, the Reshut Hayachid. How is it permissible to use this as an for Eruv? So what the Gemara is going to say is like this. The reason why it's Kasher, which again, the issue is you need Huv Eruv over Makom Ehad. You need him and the Eruv in the same place, or at least to get there, Ben HaShemashot. You cannot go from a Reshut Yahid to a Reshut Rabim, Ben HaShemashot. So the explanation he's going to say is like this. There is a way to get there. Because if you take this basket that is 10 Tefachim high, and you turn it, you turn the basket over, so to speak, so now that the basket is less than 10, now, if the basket is less than 10, that basket now becomes a karmelit. So therefore, technically, you can go from a reshut yachid to a karmelit on ben hashemashot. And now already, once you turn the basket over and the contents now will come out, it's coming out from a karmelit into a reshut yachid or reshut rabim on the floor. So therefore, you're not going directly from a reshut yachid to a reshut rabim. If you look at your picture books, and we're going to read this inside, of course, but if you look at your picture books, you see what they're doing here in 168. What you're doing in 168 is, you see the basket? You're tilting it. So by tilting it, you're moving it from a Reshut Yachid to a Karmelit. And thereby, that would be permissible, Ben HaShemashot. And that's the way you'd be able to make Eruv or Eruv, even if it is 10 Tefachim high, 4 Tefachim wide. So let's read that now in the Gemara. And we'll give the explanation. The Gemara is going to be on Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, really, I'll tell you, the kalkala is 4 tefachim, and it is 10 high. The chavra, that's a full-fledged reshut hayachid. How then could you tell me anubo ayruv? It's huvi ayruvo b'makom acher. The ayruv is reshut hayachid, and the shevitah is on the ground, which is reshut harabim. So the Gemara says, shani kalkala hu'il v'yachol lintota v'lehabi'a l'toch asara. A kalkala is different. A basket is different because you have the ability to tilt it, because you can turn it down into an area less than 10 tefachim, and therefore that would be considered, let's say, in the area of a karmelit, and then already you could take the eruv from there, from the karmelit, take it from the basket even, take it from the karmelit, ben HaShemashot. So again, even though you didn't tilt it, since ben HaShemashot you can tilt it, because you're going from a reshut yachid to a karmelit, that's the Rabbanan, and the B is Matir, the Rabbanan's Ben HaShemashot. So once you tilted Ben HaShemashot, now I can take the Eruv again from the Karmelit to the ground, right? Because that's also a Isur, the Rabbanan, Mutar, Ben HaShemashot. Comes the Gemara and says, interesting concept now. You're telling me that even though going into Shabbat, the Eruv was in a different domain, there is a way to say it will be kasher, because you're using the principle of ho'il, since you can tilt it. So what the Gemara is basically going to ask now, so what do you ever have to set up an eruv for? Which is the normal deen is what? Before Shabbat, you got to take your bread, get to the spot where your eruv is, and put it there. Why say that? Just say that since an erev Shabbat, if you had the ability to get there, even though you didn't get there, it should be kasher. Which means this principle should matir the whole Eruv without even actually having to put it there. Eruv Shabbat, let's say if I want to set my Eruv, I got to walk to the spot, put the bread there, establish residency, etc. Or send my shaliach there. Why? We should give a rule and say, since I would be able to get it there, even though I didn't, it should be okay. Just like you're saying over here. Here, going into Shabbat, your Eruv is in a different domain. It's in Neshut Yahid. But since you could have, so therefore it's considered as if it's okay. Now Gemara is going to ask a question. Gemara says like this. Etive, I'm sorry. Yativ Rappapa. Veka Amar Lehashmata. So the papa sat and said over the halakha of Rabbi Yirmiyah that the basket is talking about where it's four tefahim and you can tilt it. Etive Rav Bar Shabbat the papa. So the Bar Shabbat is the papa. Ketzadu Ose. How does he do it? What's the case over? We're talking about you have Yom Tov falls out on a Friday, and of course it's followed by Shabbat. Now you want to make an eruv for both days. For Yom Tov, you need an Eruv, Tehomin, if you want to carry outside at home, and for Shabbat you want. So obviously you're going to have to set up your Eruv for Yom Tov on Thursday, which means Erev Yom Tov, Thursday afternoon. You're going to go to the spot, and you're going to set it up. However, you want that Eruv to be viable for Shabbat as well. Now, how is an Eruv viable for Shabbat? It's got to be there, Ben Hashem Ashot, on Friday going into Shabbat. Only problem is, if you're going to put it there Thursday night, you, for Yom Tov, you're worried that by the time Friday night comes, something's going to happen to the Eruv. It's going to get eaten, it's going to get robbed. So therefore the Gemara wants in the Mishnah, ask the question of a second Metzah, when you want to set an Eruv up for two consecutive days, Yom Tov to Shabbat, how do you do it to guarantee that it'll be there Shabbat? Yom Tov is not the trick. You just go there Thursday afternoon with the bread, or you send the shaliyah, let him sit there, Bereshim Asot, Eruv is Neruv. So the Gemara says, for Shabbat you do the following. You go on the first day, meaning Thursday afternoon, you bring the Eruv there, and you let the shaliyah, your agent who's doing it for you, let him wait there, Bereshim Asot. So long as the residency was established, Ben Hashem Ashot, Halakha says the Eruv is an Eruv. Now you can take it. Now you don't have to leave the Eruv there anymore. You can take that Eruv. So it says, Venotlo, let the agent take it, Ubalo, and come back home. Now, Basheni, Machshik Alav, on Friday, which is Yom Tov, take that same bread, right, because you're recycling the Eruv now, and go back to the spot. And what? Mahshik Alav, sit there Friday afternoon, Ben Hashem Ashot, establish your Eruv for Shabbat, Ve'ochlo Ubalo. But the only option in that case is, you gotta eat it there, because you can't carry on Shabbat. On Yom Tov, you had the option on Thursday night when you set up your Eruv, set it up, Mahshik, carry the Eruv back home. Friday, go back to the spot, put it there again, establish residency for the Shabbat Eruv. Now once Shabbat comes, obviously you cannot carry Eruv. Eat it there on the spot, have your Seudah over there, and come home. So now, basically, huh?
The same bread?
Yeah, the same bread. You can use the, they're giving you a way where you could use the same bread for an Eruv of Yom Tov on Friday, and an Eruv of Yom Tov, an Eruv of Shabbat. And you're guaranteed that it's there, because you took it home and you brought it back. But what are we saying? The underlying principle over here is, you always have to go there and put the bread. So the Gemara says, Amai, why do you say that? Nema kevan de iba'e amtuye. Since if he wanted to bring it, matse mamtele, he would be able to, afalga de lo amtuye, even though he didn't bring it, keman de amtuye dame. It should be considered as if he brought it. Meaning on Friday, which is Yom Tov, you can carry. So you can carry your Eruv from your house to the spot. So the Gemara says like this, since he can carry it to the spot, even though he didn't carry it, it should be considered as if he did. From where? From the case of the basket. Ho'il. The basket was in the Shuti Yahid. It's 10 high, it's 4 wide. What is the Birmiyah's rule? Since Ben Hashem Ashot, you would have been able to tilt the the basket, but you'd be able to tilt it. So therefore, it should be it's kasher. So the same thing over here. Ben Hashem Hashot on Friday. If Ben Hashem Hashot is Yom Tov, because Ben Hashem Hashot is Safek. Safek Friday, Safek Shabbat. On the side that it's Friday, you can carry Eiruv. On the side it's Shabbat, I'd be able to carry my Eiruv pahot arba'amot. I could walk less than 4 amot, stop. Less than 4 amot, stop. That's Isur the Rabbanan. And the Biz Matir, Isur the Rabbanan, Bereshim Hashot. So therefore, just like you're telling me, if my Eiruv is in one reshut, I could tilt it into a different reshut, using the principle of Hu'il, even if I don't do it, since I can do it, it's considered as if it is in the Karmelit now, from a Karmelit to the ground, I could do that Ben Hashem Hashot as well. So say the same thing, why do I have to bring the Eruv on Friday to the spot? Since I can bring it, Ben Hashem Hashot, it should be considered as if I brought it, using the same principle of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, we learned earlier, just one point of clarification. We learned earlier in the case that we had, where you had it on the Eruv on a tree, and the tree was less than 10 tefachim from the ground. So we said, since you could take so that was considered a Karmelit. So we said, Ben Hashem Hashem, you could go from the Karmelit to the Reshut Rabim, right under it, and then you could walk Pachot Pachot Midal Ramot from the area to the to the four amot where you made your shevita. Says there is no question of using the principle of ho'il. There, it's really just walking pahot pahot medalamot. You're in the same reshut. Technically, it's the same reshut tarabim. It's just going four amot pahot pahot. Here, we're asking a stronger question. Here, we're asking, you allowed me to go from a reshut to yahid. Because the basket 10 high forward is a reshut yahid, and using ho'il, you said what? Since I can tilt it, even though it's not tilted, going into Ben Hashem Hashot, it's in a different domain. So what's the difference between a basket and the reshut yahid, or my eruv in my house? Bottom line, since the logic is I can get it there, I would potentially have been able to get it there, Ben Hashem Hashot, so it's kasher. So why are you telling me on Friday, you got to take that roof again, walk to the spot, just say, ho'il, I can get it there, Ben Hashem Hashot, it should be considered there. It's a question on Rav Yirmiyah. So Amar Bizera, Gezera Mishum Yom Tov Shehaliyot Ahara Shabbat. He comes along and says to Bizera, you're right. Just technically, it should be good in that case as well. Technically, on the Friday case where you want to establish Eiruv for Shabbat, technically, from the logic that we're saying here, you should not have to actually bring the Eiruv to the spot. It should be just considered, so long as you're able to, it's okay. But the rabbis made a gezerah on this case, that it's not going to work. Why? Gezerah to a case where Yom Tov falls out on a Sunday. Now, if Yom Tov falls out on a on a Sunday, so now already you have a problem. Because when do you have to bring your Eruv? You have to bring your Eruv on Shabbat. Now, bringing your Eruv on Shabbat, how are you going to bring the Eruv on Shabbat? So a guy is going to come along and say, well, they let me stay home on Friday to make my Eruv, so I'll stay home also on Shabbat to establish my Eruv for Sunday. And that already you can't do. So therefore the Hakami made a gezerah that you can't say ho'il on Friday lest the guy rely on that same heter on Shabbat. Look at the top Rashi. Amar bizerah. Had etzrichu. Top Rashi, top line. Had etzrichu rabbanan lechol ha'arbin leholich erubin lemkol shevitatam gezerah mishum yom tov achar Shabbat. Amazing. The reason why you have to bring the Eruv to the spot is for one case. For a case of Yom Tov that falls out on a Sunday. Because if you're going to want to bring it on Shabbat, in order to establish your Eruv for Yom Tov, he's not going to be able to bring it. Right? The only way he's going to be able to bring the Eruv for Sunday is bring it from Erev Shabbat. The I amar be'am nishpeke bebeteh. And if you're going to tell the guy, normally just leave it in your house, mishum ho'il, based on the principle of oil, since you could have got there, hakanami atelim itzmach aleh. So he's going to rely on it also in the case of Shabbat. V'nafik al eruv shemitato b'yom tov ahar Shabbat. And he's going to rely to carry on Yom Tov outside the tchum based on the ho'il. V'atam afilu ho'il leka. And there, in that case over there, we do not say ho'il, because on Shabbat, obviously you cannot bring the eruv in such a case. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, really, Rav Yirmiyah is right in principle. Meaning it would be permissible to turn the basket in that case, which is matir. But just because we're matiring by the basket case, to go from the reshuta into a karmelit, using the principle of o'il, since I'd be able to, that's not going to matir me to just say, leave the eruv at home and say, since I could have brought it, it's considered as if I brought it. Mara says, we have a question from a braita. Nitkaven lishbot b'reshut rabim. A person had kavanah to make a shivita in reshut rabim. V'niyach erubo b'kotel. He put his eruv in the wall lemata me'asarat tefahim. If you placed it in the wall, there was a wall next to the reshut rabim. We have a picture of that. That will be picture number 169, where you see you have the shivita in the reshut rabim, and he has the bread placed in a little crevice there in the wall. So the Gemara says, if it's less than ten tefachim, so then erubo eruv. Lema'ala me'asara tefachim, in erubo eruv. Let's see Rashi. V'niyach erubo bakotel. Well, the Rashi is really, shita that we're going to go with, is actually on the bottom. Rashi has two different ways of learning the sugya. His shita that it's accepted is in the bottom Rashi. You see, as a lishna aharina, and that's really the version that we're going to go with. But anyway, he put it next to his shivita. Rashi says it's four amot away. We're talking about where he has his shivita in a certain spot, the wall where he placed the bread less than ten tefachim is four amot away. Now, what's the problem? How can it be in Eruv? Because since you can go from the Karmelit, less than Tet Tefachim is a Karmelit. You can go Ben Hashem Ashot from the Karmelit to the Reshut Arabim, Reshut Rabbanan, then you could walk less than 4 Amot to the spot of your Shivita, no problem. However, if you place the Eruv above 10 Tefachim, it's considered a Reshut Hayachid, that's 4 Amot away from your Makom Shevita. There's no way that a Shemashut can go from a Reshut Yachid to a Reshut Harabim. So therefore the Eruv would not be. So that case is an obvious case. Next case. Nitkabin Nishbot Berosh HaShobach or Berosh HaMigdal. Let's say your Kabbalah was, you wanted to make Shevita, your residency, on top of a Shobach, would be like a nest, or Berosh HaMigdal. We have a picture of the Migdal. This would be Migdal. You want to have your residency, let's say, on top of this dresser. Now the dresser is in the Reshut Rabim. So on top of that dresser, you want to have the Shevita. So it says, where'd you put the bread? You got to put the bread somewhere, right? So you put the bread in the wall next to the dresser. Lema'ala me'asarat tefachim erubo eruv. If you put it lema'ala, it's good because the dresser on top is a shut yachid. You put your shevita, also your bread, lema'ala, so it's in the same reshut. Lema'ala me'asarat tefachim in erubo eruv. If you placed it below, in erubo eruv. Why? If you placed it below, because your makom shevita is on top, it's above, and the eruv is below. So the Gemara says, and what's the problem over here? Why shouldn't it be in Eruv? So look at now the Rashi, Mishna Harina. We're going to read the bottom Rashi, the big one. She says, Lamed Aleph, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4th line. Shamarti Ve'ikad, Nitkaven Nishbot Berosh HaMigdal or Berosh HaShovach, Aheniyach Erubo Bakotel Ka'e. It's referring to the case of where you place the Eruv not on top of the dresser itself or the Migdal, but you place the Eruv also in the wall. Now, Veketani, Dehash Tahavi Ipcha. Here it's the opposite, meaning, if you place the Eruv above 10, Erubo Eruv. Sham Migdal Etzel HaKotel. Because the Migdal is next to the wall, v'yakol la'vio etzlo, which means it's considered a reshut yachid on top of that migdal. You place your bread above 10, which is also considered reshut yachid. That she tells us there is no space in between, so technically I can go from reshut yachid to reshut yachid. Which means if there was a little space of Rishut to Rabim, airspace, you're not allowed to go from Rishut to Yahid to Rishut to Yahid, Derek Rishut to Rabim. So that she has to tell me that it's right next to the bread. So I just go, Ben Hashem Asot, I can just go from the, you know, from one area to the next. However, the next case is the Enifsik Benahim. So that she points out Enifsik Benahim. Lemata Me'asara. What's the problem? So he says, Kegon Betefach Tishiai. We're talking about lemata masa, meaning it's exactly at 9. Exactly. What's the problem with 9? Rabim mechatfim alab. And therefore, vahavi reshut rabim. And therefore, the eruv is not going to be an eruv, because less than 9 is a reshut harabim, because people adjust their knapsacks on the back of it. Could you go from it? 9 itself, I'm sorry. 9 itself, I agree. 9 itself. Therefore, lemata ma'asra is 9. Therefore, lo avi eruv, why? Because how are you going to get it from the reshut harabim to the migdal, which is reshut harabim? It's huve erubo b'makom achet. Even if there's no space, doesn't matter. You can't go from one domain to the other, not on Shabbat and not ben Shabbat. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to ask the question. Wait, we have a way out. We have a way out. The amai, hachinami nema ho'il v'yachol lintoto ulhabiyo letuch asara. Gemara says, take the migdal, that's high, that's considered a reshut yachid, tilt it, which means put it on its side. Instead of standing tall, put it on its side. You'd have a picture of that. Actually, the bottom picture is showing what you're doing, which means you can just tilt it down. Now, by tilting it down, what's going to happen? You're going to turn that top of the migdal into a karmelit, right? Because now it's between 3 and 10 of the ground. Right? It's no longer 10 high. It's between 3 and 10. Yeah. 3 and 10 is a karmelit. Ben Hashem Asot, could you go from a karmelit to a reshut rabim? Or a reshut rabim to a karmelit? Yes. So therefore, so even though you didn't do it, say, since there's a way for me to do it, which is just like you told me about a basket, David Miya. I could tilt the basket into a Ben Hashem Asot, so I could tilt the whole migdal into a Ben Hashem Asot, therefore bringing it into a karmelit, allowing me to carry. So comes the Gemara and says, you're right. If you would have been able to do that, it would be good. Yeah. However, you can't do it in this case. Right. We're talking about where it's hinged to the wall. Look at number 172. You see your migdal is attached to the wall. So it's not safe to say ho'il. You would not be able to, ben Hashem Ashot, to have tilted it onto the ground. But lo yitzyar, if it wasn't hinged to the wall, then the chanami would say ho'il, and therefore it would be okay. Comes the Gemara and says, so David Miya answers, Rabbah Amar, afidu timim b'gdal she'eno mesumar. Rabbah comes along and says, you know what, I can tell you, even in a case where it wasn't hinged to the wall, still, you're not going to say ho'il in this case. Why? Ve'acha b'migdal aruch askinan. We're talking about a very tall migdal, like you see in picture number 173, the imam tele purta, that even if you tilt it a little, azil chutz la'arba amot, which means it's going to be now 4 amot away from the spot where your bread is, and therefore you're not going to be able to get to the bread, which means by putting the tilting it down, so it's very long, so now your shivita is more than 4 amot away from the actual bread itself. Now she says on the bottom, read that. I'm reading Rashi on the bottom. Va'amai lema ho'il v'yachol lintot ha'migdal shel makom shevita olabi letok reshut harabim deneve rosh ha'migdal karmelit derachavdal ve'en agavoyud. By tilting it totally on the ground in the original case, you're turning it to a karmelit, right? Because it's within 10, has 4 wide. Nafik le'mechutz, as the Gemara then said in another case, nafik le'mechutz l'dal l'amot marchik rosh ha'migdal min ha'iruv arba amot. By laying it totally flat on the ground, or even tilting it, you're going to bring the tip of the Migdal, more than 4 amot away from the Eruv, velo matzil mishkele, you're not going to be able to bring it. Velatuyel lerosh migdal, v'nimsam ma'avir dal ramot, v'shut harabim. You cannot be ma'avir dal ramot, v'shut harabim, to get to your... To get to your area. In any event, the Gemara comes along and says, what is the case we're talking about this migdal? Gemara gives a different question. Go back to the original case. You have your regular migdal, it's 10 high. You have your bread, let's say, below... If I'm exactly at 9, it's considered a shuta rabim. Gemara says, we stop away, it can be kosher. Maybe you can't go from the shuta rabim to the shuta yahid. How can it be good? I'll tell you how. Okay. Let's say you have a string attached to the bread. The deen is, if you have a string attached to the bread, so the law is, it really goes where the string is. So therefore, if you're standing in the migdal, holding on to the string that's attached to the bread, now, true on Shabbat, it would be asud midrabanan to pull the string. But it's only asud midrabanan. Why is it only asud midrabanan? Why is it not asud deoraita? Because it's already considered in the migdal. Because it's on the string. It goes where I am. It's like a case, remember we learned the Masechet Shabbat, where a guy had a megillah, and he was on top of the roof, and he dropped it, right? It went down. So therefore, on Shabbat, the question was, can he roll it up? Can he roll it? So we said he can. Because in the place of Ketve Kodesh, the rabbis didn't make a gezerah. Because Shulim Naturat Mutar, because it's by him, he's holding it into the shoot. Even though the bottom of it is into the shoot, Harabim, it's not considered bringing it from the shoot Harabim to the shoot, because the Agid Gabe, it's holding it by him. So the Gemara says, what's the case of it? If he has a string attached to the piece of bread over here, L'chaura, it should only be Isur, Drabanan, and therefore, Ben Hashem Ashot, it should be permissible. So the Gemara answers very simply. Okay. Deletle kafta umatna. You don't have a window. Kafta is a window, and matna is a string. For our purpose, we need to know about the string. He says, you don't have a string attached to it. Jesus, you're right. If you had a string attached to the bread, even if the bread was at the 9 tefachim point, which is a reshut rabim, and your shevitah was on top of the dresser, which is a reshut hayachid, it would be permissible. Why? Because you would be able to get to the Eruv, how, just by pulling the bread. That's not Isur Deoraita. And therefore, we have to say a case where there is no string attached. Very simple case. So therefore, again, Western review, which just took place over, we had a case originally of Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah taught us the deen of the basket that is attached to the tree, which is 10 tefachim high. It's a reshut yachid. He said, still, the Eruv is an Eruv. Why? Because ho'il. I can tilt it Ben Hashem Ashot to get it into a Karmelit, and therefore I can take it from the Karmelit down to the floor where my Shevitah is, and therefore it would be permissible. So you see the concept of Ho'il. So the Gemara says, why do you say that like every Eruv? That since, in the case, if I can get my Eruv there to the spot, I shouldn't have to actually bring it there. So the Gemara says, you're right, in principle it should work, but there's certain case where you want to establish an Eruv for Yom Tov, which is on a Sunday, and the only option to bring your Eruv would be on Shabbat, and obviously you can't bring, guy's going to sit home and say, well, since I could have, in that case, you couldn't have. So therefore, the deen in that gezerah, we made a gezerah for that specific case. So the Gemara says, okay, good, I'll ask you another question. You have a dresser. You want to put it on top of the dresser. The Eruv you put in the Reshut Rabbi, meaning at 9 to 5, with Rabbi Mechatfin. The Gemara says, in Eruv or Eruv. We understand why. Because it's in two different Rishiyot. I ho'il, lower the dresser. Right, lower the dresser down, make it a Karmelit. Karmelit, you can go from a Karmelit to Reshut, Harabim and Ben Hashem Ashot. Say ho'il. No, we're not going to say ho'il because it's nailed into the wall. That's Rabbi Yirmiyah's answer. Rabbi Kazong, it says, even if it's not nailed into the walls. We're talking about it's very high. If you're going to push it, if you're going to put it down, it's going to be more than 4 amot away. So therefore, you can't walk 4 amot b'shut rabim. It's away from your Shevita. Comes the Gemara and says, And you should know, we're talking about a case where there's no string attached to the bread. Because if there was a string attached to the bread, it would be permissible in all cases. Why? Because it's considered the bread being in the Shut the Yahid, where he's holding it. Comes the Gemara now, and goes further. Natnu bebor afilu amok me'ama. Okay, and we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you place the eruv in a board, a pit, even if it's 100 amah deep, the eruv is an eruv. High bor de ka'ehecha. Where is the bor? In which domain? If the board is in a reshut yachid, peshita. Of course, it's pashut eruv should be an eruv. Why? Reshut yachid ole ad lerakia, which means just like we say, reshut yachid goes all the way up. Just like it goes all the way up, it also goes all the way down. And therefore, the board is considered a reshut hayachid. No question. Now, if it's in a reshut yachid area, that means your shivita was in a reshut hayachid outside the board. So it's who be'erubo v'makom ehad. It's no question, there's no chidush in that case. Ve'ela deka'eb reshut harabim. Oh, must be talking about the pit is in the reshut harabim. Then it's kaven nishbotecha. But where do you want to make a shevita? Ile ma'ala, if you wanted to make it outside the pit in the reshut harabim, hu b'makom ehad, ve'erubo b'makom ha'chayru. Because the board is considered reshut yachid, outside the board is reshut harabim. That case cannot work out. Ile ma'ata, if you wanted to make shevita in the pit itself, pshita, hu ve'erub ha'makom ehad. That's also pashut. The eruv is reshut yachid, he wants to make a shevita in the pit itself. So we want to know, give me the hiddush, what's the case of it? So the Gemara says, lo tzericha deka'e bekarmelit. We're talking about where you have a pit in a karmelit. Karmelit, let's say a bik'ah, a valley. It's a rabbinical domain, okay? V'netkaven l'shbot le'ma'ala. And you wanted to make a shevita in the karmelit. How could you do that? The board is reshut yachid, and you want to make a shevita in a karmelit. So the Gemara says, could you get from a, on Shabbat, could you go from a reshut yachid to a karmelit? No, but Bir Hashem Asot, can you?
Yes.
According to who? According to the B. So the Gemara says, Virabihi. And obviously this is going to be following the opinion of the B that says what? Tamar kodavar shu mishum shevut, lo gazu ala Bir Hashem Asot. So we review. The last case of the Mishnah of the Bor Amok is a Bor Amok in a Karmelit, following the opinion of the B. Bor Reshut Yachid. Shevita in the Karmelit. How can it be permissible since Bir Hashem Asot I'll be able to access the Eruv, because you can go from a Karmelit to a Reshut Yachid, because it's only Isur, the Rabbanan. Comes the new Mishnah. Natno berosh hakaneh. Let's say you place the Eruv on top of a reed. O berosh hakundas. Or on top of a pole. Bizman shu talush v'na'utz. So long as the reed or the pole is detached from its source, and you now thrusted it into the ground, afilu gavoa kuf amma, even if it is 100 amma tall, harezu eruv. Read Rashi, kundas, plu belaz. Plu means a pole. Ve'ena mehubarim. And it's not attached to the ground. Ubegevara parich v'amat resha rabihi. Which means, what's the difference if it's attached? Which means, seemingly the issue is, because you're not allowed to use something that's attached to the ground, because the rabbis don't want you to use a tree, for example, right? So therefore, if you're telling me that the previous Mishnah was following the opinion of Rabbi, so seemingly this Mishnah also, which is like a sefa, this the end, should also be following the opinion of Rabbi. If you follow the opinion of Rabbi, even if it's attached to the ground, this reed, let's say, so what's the problem? That you might come to use a tree? That's only Sudra Rabbanan. Ben Hashem Ashot, they didn't make such a gizra. So technically, attached should not be an issue if you're following the beat. That's going to be the Gemara's question. Now, the Gemara, she just tells you, even if it's 100 amma high, or ve'enu rachab dalid lemata la v'shuta yachidava, which means, since it's a pole, it's very high, right? Since it's not wide on the bottom, even though it's 10 high, and even if you have, let's say, 4x4 on top, it's not considered a shuti yachid like we learned. For it to be considered a shuti yachid, you need to have the width on the bottom as well. So therefore, if you put your shemitah into the shuti harabim on the ground, you will have no problem legabeh this eruv, because this eruv, if it's a karmeli, you can go from the karmeli to the reshut harabim on Bin Hashem Ashot, if you say we're going according to rabbi, or if it's a mekom petur, which means it's less than 4x4 tefachim, 10 high, less than 4, according to everybody, you can go from a Mekom Petur to the Reshut Rabim. Even according to the Hachamim on Shabbat, you can go from a Mekom Petur to a Reshut Harabim. So therefore, again, a pole that's very high, less than 4 tefahim width, is a Mekom Petur, that considered an Eruv, if you want your Shavitah to be on the ground, let's say, which is a Reshut Rabim beneath it, because you can get from your Eruv, is considered Huv Erubo b'makom Echad. That's what that she says. Comes again, what Aaron explains now. Okay, Gemara. Rami le Rav Ada bar Matna le Rava. Rav Ada bar Matna brought a question to Rava. Talush v'na'utzim. You only tell me when the reed is detached from the ground, and then you thrusted it into the ground. However, talush v'na'utzim. Lo talush v'na'utz. However, if it was not detached, lo, it's going to be asur mani rabbanani. Must be going like the opinion of the rabbis, the Amri, called Davar Shu Mishum Shevut, Gazu Alav, Ben HaShevashot. And that's why they want it to be detached before Shabbat, because if it was attached, Yeruv would not be, because you could be considered using a tree on Shabbat to get Yeruv. And you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbat. It's a Sumid Rabbanan. And therefore, Ben HaShevashot, it's also going to be Asur, because the rabbis say anything that's Asur mid Rabbanan is also Asur ben HaShemashot. So therefore, from the fact that you made it, that the tree is not attached, that the reed is not attached, must be you're going like the opinion of the rabbis. Because that's the only way you would be able to use the reed. But according to Rabbi, L'chaurat should be mutar, even if it was still attached. Because ben HaShemashot, using a tree, is only Asur Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, V'ha'amar t'resha Rabbi. What do you mean? You told me already the last Mishnah was following the B. So it's funny to say that what? The last Mishnah was the B. Now you're going according to the opinion of the rabbis? So the Gemara says, Reshah the B, the Sefer Rabbanan? Well, the first Mishnah is the B, and the second Mishnah is going to be Rabbanan. Amar le, kevar rameh le rameh bar hamal rav chazda. Already Rami bar Hama asked this question to Rav Chazda. Veshani le, and Rav Chazda answered indeed, Reshah the B, the Sefer Rabbanan. He said, you're right. That's the way it worked out. The Resha is following the B's opinion, and this Mishnah is following the rabbis. Which is according to that answer, according to the B, even if the reed was attached in the ground, the Eruv would be an Eruv. Because we're doing Mishtamesh Be'ilan, Mutar according to the B, Ben Hashem Ashot, therefore when your Eruv kicked in, the Eruv would be okay. But according to the rabbis, it has to be detached, so you're not going to be considered Mishtamesh Be'ilan. And indeed, yes, according to this answer, the Resha of the Mishnah, last Mishnah was the B, and this Mishnah is Rabbanan. Rabbi Na'amar Kula the B. He says, no, even this Mishnah is the B. How? V'sefa'a gezerah shemi yiktom. This is a different issue over here. This issue over here is that we're concerned that when you have the Eruv on the reed, in order to get the Eruv, to access it, you come to cut the Eruv, you come to cut the kanik, you're going to come to cut the reed. Since it's bendable and it's breakable, so to get the Eruv, you're going to bend it. Now, breaking it is a melacha of kotzir. Now, he wants to break it, because he wants to get his Eruv over here. So therefore, he has kavana to break it. So therefore, Rabbi's going to say, it's not an issue of using a tree. Using a tree is Yisud Rabbanan. This gizra over here is that when he comes to get the Eruv on a reed, he's going to come to chop it down. So therefore, you better chop it down from before Shabbat. When are you over kotzer?
When
it's attached to the ground, then you come and cut it. So therefore, Rabbi's gizra is a different gizra. It's not the mishtamesh be'ilan. He holds in the case of a reed, since it's soft, it's pliable, so therefore you could have come to pull it off. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, gizra shemi yiktom defi, shakane rachu. Right, the reed is pliable, it's soft. Ika lemigzar shemi yiktom ki shakile. Now when you're coming to get your eruv off the reed, you might pull it off. Aval ilan kashehu. But ilan, a tree is hard, which means we're not going to make a gezerah if you put your eruv on a tree that you're going to come and pull the tree. Yeah, pull the tree, it's a branch. These are hard, the tree is hard. So there's no gezerah of shimmi yiksor by a tree, but by a reed, it's very plausible that he might come to pull the reed when he's trying to get the eruv, and therefore there's going to be a problem when it comes to the kaneh. That's why, even according to the bee, it has to be detached before the Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says a story. Hahu pul Musa. There was a certain army of soldiers. The Atal in Nehardea. They came to the city of Nehardea. Amar the Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman saw that there was going to be overcrowding that Shabbat in the Beit Midrash. He saw there's not going to be any seats. So he told the students on Erev Shabbat, Puku, go out. Avidu kivushe kavshe be'agma. Go take the reeds and lay them flat in the marsh, so tomorrow we'll be able to sit on them. Which means he needed a place to sit. So what? Take the reeds, lay them on their sides, end of Shabbat, which means normally they would be mukseh. So he's telling them, go designate them from before Shabbat, go put them on their sides, so tomorrow ul mahar nizil vinitiv and laveh. So tomorrow we'll go and we'll sit on them. So comes the Gemara and says, "Eti ve'rami bar Hamal Rav Nachman, va'amir Rav Ukba bar Abal Rav Nachman, talush ve'na'u tzin." What do you mean? We just learned in our Mishnah that the only time you can deal with these reeds is when they are talush, when they are detached. Talush ve'lo na'utz. No, which means when they're attached, there's a problem, which means we're worried that he might come and break them. So how did the rabbi allow them to go and start pulling them down and bending them down? Don't you have a problem that you might come to break it? Which means you have an issue. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le hatam be'uzradin, which means we're talking about they were hardened already. Which is, when did we make a gezerah that you might come to pull them and rip them and break them and kotzer when they're soft? There's soft reeds and there's hard reeds. In the case over here of the story of Rav Nachman, he was telling the students to go to the spot of the reeds that they were hardened already. And therefore there's no gezerah of he might come to break them or break ketzirah. The only time you make ketzirah is on a soft reed. Amishnah, soft reeds? The case of Rav Nachman was the hard reeds. Umina timna de shanina min ozradin l'shein ozradin. How do you know there's two types of kanim? How do you know there's the hard version called ozradin? And how do you know there is the soft version? So the Gemara says, Betanya, we have a braita. The braita says, hakanim, those are reeds, va itdin. Itdin is like thorns. Atah is like a thorn bush. Va higin, that's also a type of thorn. Min ilanhin. These are all considered trees. Ve'enan kil'ayim bekerim. You're not going to be subject to kil'ayim in a kerim, which means to be considered mixed breeding in a vine, it has to be considered a vegetable, a yarak. These items over here, if you cross-breed them in a kerim, it's considered a tree, and therefore you have no problem of kereh kerim. Ve'tanya idach. So therefore, what do you see? A kaneh is a tree. We have another brayta that says hakanim, reeds, vakidin, vakidan. Kidan is a type of bosim, a type of type of herb or type of cinnamon. Fine, kidin. Vaurbanin, urbanin is what do you call it?
Willows that grow around palms.
Okay, willows that grow around palms. Min yarakin, it's a type of vegetable, these items, it's considered a yarak. Vehen kilayim bekerim, and it is considered kilayim.
Wow.
So we have a stira on kaneh. One thing you tell me kaneh, there's no kilayim. Then you tell me the kaneh is kilayim. Make up your mind, is it a tree or is it a vegetable? Is it a din of a tree or a yarak? The Gemara says, kasha ahadadeh. But the question of kanim to kanim, ela shma'mina, kan be'uzadin, kan b'shein uzadin. Depends if they're hard or not. If they're hard reeds, so that already has a din of a tree. No problem of kilayim. If they're soft, that has a din of a yarak, you have a problem. Shma'mina. Comes the Gemara and says, v'kida min yaraku. Side point. You told me that kida, I'm not allowed to plant it with the vineyard. Obviously, you're treating it as a yarak. So the Gemara says, "V'kida min yaraku batenan en markivin pegam al gabe Kida Lebana Mepeneshehu Yarak Beilan, which means pegam. What is pegam? He says ruda. Ruda is a type of herb. You're not allowed to crossbreed. Pegam, take ruda next to kida lebana, because it's crossbreeding a yarak with a tree. The yarak is the ruda, and the kida is a ilan. You're not to graft them together. You're not to graft a tree with a vegetable. So therefore, the Gemara is telling you over here that kida is considered a tree. You just told me that kida is a yarak. That's why it's subject to the laws of kilayim. So the Gemara says, no question. I'm on a papa. Kida lehud ve kida levana lehud. There's two items. There's kida and there's kida levana. Kida, that's going to be considered a yarak. Kida levana is considered an ilan. Mishnah, natnu b'migdal. Let's say you place the eruv in a migdal, in a box. Let's say, okay, in a migdal or a tower. Okay, ve'avada maftayah. It was locked and you lost the key. So you can't access the Eruv. How is the Eruv? Tanakama says it's still considered an Eruv. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im eno yodeya shamafteach bimkomo eno Eruv. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you don't know that the key is in its spot, it is not considered an Eruv. Which means for sure if you lost the key he holds, for sure it's no good. Even further, you have to know that the key is in its spot. Which is, if you don't know that the key is where it's supposed to be, so already then the Eruv is not a Eruv. So the Ezra obviously is more Mahmir than Tanakama. Tanakama says what? Even if you lost the key totally, it's okay. What it means is, if you lost the key, vaday erubo in erub. You have to know that the key is in the spot where you place. If you don't know that the key is it's not in the spot where you designated, then your erub is already not considered. And now we're going to get what I ask. V'amai hu b'mkom echad v'erubo b'mkom acher. How could the rabbi say the erub is kasher? Technically, if you can't access your erub, I don't care if you're both in the shuta yachid. But Bara, since you can't get it, it's considered you're in one area and your Eruv is in a different area. You can't get in there. Mm-hmm. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabu Shmuel David Tarbayu, Hakab the Migdal Shelevanim Afkinan. We're talking about a Migdal that's made out of bricks. Which is, in the question, we thought it was made out of, let's say, a wood. You can't break it. You can't get in there. Which is, not only can't you get it because you don't have the key, but on Shabbat, you have laws of Stira. You're not to break a wooden box on Shabbat. So there's really no way to get in. So the Gemara says, no, I'll give you the case. Where Torah was made out of bricks, implying that what? A structure of bricks, somehow, even without a key, you'd be able to access it. How is that possible? So the Gemara says, it's following the Bimi'ir. The Amar, po het lechet techila venotel. Case on Shabbat, on Yom Tov. The case on Yom Tov. You have a structure of bricks, there's perot in the structure. You don't have the key. You want to get the fruit. How are you going to get the fruit? I want to eat the fruit on Yom Tov. So you know what he says you could do? You could take some bricks out, break the bricks, make a hole in the bricks, and then go eat the fruit. So what do you see over here? According to the Bimi'ir, a structure of bricks, at least on Yom Tov, you can make a hole through it. So then I'll tell you, Tanakama is following the opinion of the Bimi'ir, and he'll tell you that what? You can get in there. How? By breaking the bricks. So the Gemara is going to discuss that now. Ditnan. Here's the case. Bayit shemil'u perot. You have a house on Yom Tov. It's filled with perot. Satum. It's closed. Can't access it. V'nifhat. Oh. One of the walls fell by themselves. Nifhat, it became diminished on its own. Mm-hmm. No problem. No tel memakom apehat. Everybody would agree you can stick your hand in the hole over there and take the fruit. Hidush, that the fruit are not mukseh. So you might have thought, well, since you couldn't get them before Yom Tov, or, you know, because according to the opinion of it, it says you really can't break it. You can only be lenient because it broke on its own. You might say that the perot should be mukseh. Kamash malan, no. We don't say that the fruit are mukseh. Especially, we're talking about a case over here where it was a weak wall, where in your mind, going into Yom Tov, you assumed it's going to break. Therefore, the perot technically were not out of your mind going into Yom Tov. That's Tanakama's opinion. The Bimi'ir Omer, Pohet Venotel Chetahila. The Bimi'ir says, you don't got to wait for the wall to break. You can actually go and break it yourself and get the fruit. So what do you see over here? There's a way to even get into a brick structure. Sukkah. Sukkah's Gemara says, Ve'amar Rav Nachman bar Adamar Shmuel Ba'avira Delibneh. Hold it. That's not a regular case. That was talking about a case of Avira Delivneh, where the bricks were not tarred. You just put cemented. You just put bricks on top of each other. What's between each brick?
Air.
Air. Then he lets you move a brick, because you're really not destroying anything. So who says Al Mishnah is talking about that case over there? So the Gemara says, you're right. I'll tell you, the case of the Mishnah is also talking about with the Migdal. Number one is made out of Lebanim, bricks, where they were not tarred, cemented, and Tanakhama is following the opinion of the Bimi'ir that says you can break it. It's not considered stira, and therefore you can get to the Iruv, therefore Iruv or Iruv. Comes the Gemara and says, wait, this heter was only said, Legabeh Yom Tov. We allow you to go into the house over there. Which means why? Because the bricks have a side point over there. The bricks are mukseh. How could you even move the bricks? So the hakamim will matir mukseh for ochel nefesh. Which is for me to get to eat, will waive mukseh. However, because ochel nefesh is mutar on Yom Tov. You can even cook on Yom Tov. So it's considered for sort of ochel nefesh, I'm matir to move the bricks. But on Shabbat, I'm not matir to move these bricks. Even if you want to tell me it's not considered destroying. It's not considered stida. Because it's... But it's mukseh. How could you get in there? So comes the Gemara and says... Gemara says, Hachana mebi Yom Tov. You're right. You know what the Mishnah's case was talking about? Yom Tov. Amazing. So go back to the Mishnah now. When you learn the Mishnah, that no be migdal, it means be Yom Tov. And it's a migdal of Lebanim without cement. And that's why you lost the key.
On Yom Tov.
Tanakama's following the Bimi'ir. On Yom Tov, it would be permissible to access the Eruv. How? By pulling the bricks away. Comes the Gemara and says, if that's the case, Hainu Diktani Allah, we have a Blaita. The Blaita says, the Bili Ezer Omer, In Bi'ir Avad, Erubo Eruv. Bin Basadeh Avad, In Erubo Eruv. We have the Bili Ezer says like this. It depends where the Migdal is. If the Migdal is in the city, then the Eruv is in the Eruv. If the Migdal is in the field, in Eruv or Eruv. What's the rationale over here? The rationale is like this. The Bili Ezer of this Braita, at least, holds like this. Even though you lost the key, technically you could find the key. Now, you have another problem, but even if you find the key, are you going to be able to bring it to the Migdal on Shabbat? You can't carry on Shabbat. If it's in the city, it's okay. How? Because if you remember, we had an opinion we learned of Rabbi Shimon that says, if you have gagot, kerfifiyot, and haserot, those are all different types of reshut yachids. So you don't need an eruv haserot amongst those different types of reshut yachids. You can go from haser to karpef to the gag to another karpef. To that. So technically, there's a way to get in a city that has all these reshut yachids. There is a way, technically, to get the key from wherever it is. If it's in one of these Nishriyot before Shabbat, you can hop from here to here to here. So technically, the Bili Ezer says, if you're in the Eir, no problem. Why? Because there would be a way, technically, to get the key there. However, you're in the field,
no way.
There is no way to get the key. Now hold it. If we're talking about the cases talking about Yom Tov, what are you talking about? What's the difference? Even in this field, Yom Tov you're allowed to carry. So clearly the Bili Ezer is talking about the case on Shabbat. So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, V'im basadeh avad in Urbo Ayruv, V'im yom tov, mali ayir, mali sadeh. What is the difference between carrying is permissible in any case? So obviously you see he's going on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, fine. Hasureh mehsera v'achi ketani. The Gemara tells us that there's actually some more words that were not written in the Braita. And this is what it says. Netano b'migdal, if you place your Eruv in the Migdal, v'na'al b'fanav, and you clocked it, v'abad ha-maftayach, and you lost the key, hare ze Eruv. It is an Eruv. When? B'me devarim amurim b'yom tov. So that's Tanakama's opinion. On Yom Tov. In bricks. without cement. Eruv, because according to Rabbi Meir, you can break it. It's not considered stira. It's not considered mukseh. No problem. So that's Yom Tov. Ah, aval. B'Shabbat. Now we have already issues. En erubo eruv, which means then the eruv on Shabbat is not considered. Why? Because no, you can't break the wall on Shabbat.
And the bricks
are right? The bricks are mukseh. You cannot break it. However, nimsa mafteyach. If let's say you found the key on Shabbat, ben bi'ir ben b'sadeh. In erubo eruv, the first opinion says, I don't care where you found the key. The first opinion of this brother does not hold like the Bishimon. You cannot go from a hatzeh to a karpef to a gag. Therefore, how are you going to get the key wherever you found it on Shabbat? How are you going to get it to the Migdal? Mm-hmm. So therefore, I don't care if you found it in the city or the sadeh on Shabbat. In erubo eruv, even if you found the key, there's no way you're going to be able to get it there. Yabiliyazir omer be'ir erubo eruv. He's going to say what? In the city, erubo eruv. Basada in erubo eruv. Why? Be'ir erubo eruv can be Shimon. Ve'amar, echad kagot, echad haserot, ve'al kapifiyot, reshut achaten, lekerim sheshavtu betocham. Basada, however, in the field, in erubo eruv, kerabbanan. Who's Rabbanan's opinion? The Rabbanan hold that, let's say, later on we're going to learn, if you find tefillin in a field, how can I get the tefillin from the field back to the to the city? So one rabbi holds you can actually carry it pachot pachot. Actually, when you have two people, you give it to him, and then he gives it to his friend, and you keep on handing it over. Hakamim do not hold it that. They don't hold it in the field. You can hand it over from one to one. So therefore, the same thing, just like we're not lenient by tefillin to hand it over one to one, by the key of an eruv also, we're not koshekin. We're not lenient by tefillin, we're not going to be lenient by a key, and therefore, the Eliezer holds that what? In the ear, on Shabbat, if you found the key, mutar. However, in the city, sorry, in the field, no. The Gemara continues, Ahu pul Musa de Atal Naharda, there was a army from the king that came into the city of Nehardea. Rav Nachman suspected that there was going to be overcrowding in the Beit Midrash that week, so he told his students, Amar Lehu Rav Nachman, Puku, go out on Erev Shabbat, Avidu Kivushe Kavshe Be'agma, go lay down the reeds in the marsh, lay them down flat so they will be prepared as chairs, so we can sit there on Shabbat. Again, he needed to prepare them on Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat, to designate them, otherwise they would have been mukseh. Ulmahar, he says, and tomorrow on Shabbat, Nizil, we will go vinitib ilavai, we will go sit on them. Etibe Rami Barhamal Rav Nachman. So Rami Barhamal is the question to Rav Nachman. The Amri La Rav Ukba Bar Abal Rav Nachman. Talush vena utzin. We learned in the Mishnah regarding setting up the eruv. Only when it is talush, the reeds are talush, then it is permissible. Lo talush velo na'utz lo. Why? Because we said you have a problem of mishtamesh be'ilan, which means, according to the first answer of the Gemara that we said, that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of the Hachamim, the reason why if a reed is attached in the ground, it is asur to use it, is because why? Because your Mishtamesh Be'ilan, and they all that things that are done ben Hashem Ashot are also going to be asur. And even according to the second answer that says the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi, still if it's attached in the ground, it's asur, because you might come and break it. So therefore the Gemara says, how did Rav Nachman tell the students to go and prepare these chairs over here? They're made out of reeds. They were still attached. How could they use them on Shabbat? It's considered mishtamesh be'ilan. And according to both answers that we learned, it should be forbidden if it is still attached. Amale hatam uzradin. Over there in the Mishnah, when were we concerned about mishtamesh be'ilan, that it's considered like using a tree, when they are like trees, meaning they are hard, on hard reeds, then you have a problem of mishtamesh be'ilan, and that's why we said The kenim must be detached because they're hard. They're like a tree. However, in this case over here, they were talking about they were soft, and therefore there is no issue of mishtamesh be'ilan on a soft reed because it is not like a tree. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Ve'amen.